a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. I'd like to start by welcoming those that are joining us via the Internet. And a reminder to everybody here, committee members and those in the audience, we are live via the Internet. A couple of reminders, if you have cell phones, you might want to check those to make sure they're in an appropriate setting. Also, if you plan on testifying today, we have a roster sheet at the by the door if you would sign in. I will remind you right up front that or inform you that Senate Bill 59, the sponsor of that, Senator Frerichs, has requested that that be deferred, so it's my intention to defer that bill until Wednesday. Also, before we get started, I would like to introduce our pages for the day. We have Noah Consad from Sioux Falls and Dacey Bryant. Why don't you stand up and tell us, I guess I already said where you're from, but what your intentions are. Great. Well, welcome to Senate State Affairs, and thank you for your help. With that, Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Here.
Cutler? Frerichs? Gray?
Here.
Johnston?
Here.
Rave?
Here.
Teason?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Roden.
Here. Quorum is present. You have seen the minutes. Are there additions, corrections, actions on the minutes? Motion to approve by Gray, second by Senator Rave. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we will move right to our calendar. And we have a number of governor's appointments, starting with the confirmation appointment of Alan Ruhlman. Is that right? Somebody correct me? Ruhlman from Brown County, Aberdeen, South Dakota, to the Career Service Commission. That appointment is now up for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sandy Zinter. I'm the Commissioner of the Bureau of Personnel, and it's my pleasure this morning to present to you the name of Alan Ruhlman as a member of the Career Service Commission for Senate confirmation. Alan Ruhlman is currently the Human Resource Director for the City of Aberdeen, and he's served in that capacity for many years. Senator Nostroff, I think we'll talk a little bit more about the background of Mr. Ruhlman. I just wanted to very briefly tell you about the position or what the Career Service Commission does, and I won't take a lot of time, but as many of you may remember, the Career Service system was established in 1973. And it's served by a 5-member commission currently, and this appointment will be for a 4-year term. The commission hears everything that's is responsible for working with just about everything related to personnel management, including compensation and pay. And they also serve as the grievance appeal board for employees in the career service who want to bring an appeal for any purpose to that group. So it's really very important that, or it's nice, I should say, that we have a commission member that's being appointed that brings a lot of human resource background to the position, knowledge of federal and state statutes. So with that, I would turn it over to Mr. Senator Nostroff.
Thank you. Good morning, State Senator Al Nostroff from Aberdeen. Thank you for allowing us to speak this morning, and we'll speak very briefly. And I've known Al Ruhlman for approximately 20 years. He's the human resource manager at the City of Aberdeen, and the way I've gotten to know him, one way I've gotten to know him is in interactions with the city, but also he organizes a yearly human resources event where he invites the legislators in and usually invites Jim Marsh from the Department of Labor to talk about current events, and he's one of the organizers of that event. But prior to being with the city, he was with the Redfield Development Center, and he's a graduate of SDSU. He's a founder and later the president of the South Dakota Government Human Resource Association, and has also served as president of the South Dakota Society of Human Resources. So with that, I would ask for your consideration and recommendation.
Thank you. Further proponents? And if you would, you can just stay there for a second. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? See, it discourages opponents if you're still filling the seats. Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Any questions? Thank you. Seeing none, we are open to discussion and or action then for the confirmation of Alan Ruhlman. Senator Rafe.
I would move advise and consent.
Motion to advise and consent the appointment by Senator Rave, second by Senator Johnson. Comments on that motion? Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to advise and consent the appointment will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Appointment is approved.
Consent.
Motion to consent by Gray, second by Rave. Comments on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Appointment goes to the Senate floor on consent. Next, we will take up the confirmation appointment of Matt, how do you pronounce that? Matt Michaels. I believe, from Yankton County, Yankton, South Dakota, as the Assistant Adjutant General of the Army. Yankton, South Dakota, to the position of Interim Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. That appointment is now open for a public hearing and proponent testimony. Welcome to Senate State Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. General Marlette was a little nervous back there. This is highly unusual, and I appreciate your time. I'd like to give you a little background, especially for people who are listening and may not remember a year ago when you did acquiesce to our reorganization order. One of the most significant moves that the governor asked is not really present in the reorganization order, and that was the governor created an executive committee instead of a traditional chief of staff, executive officer sort of approach. And within that structure, he assigned various areas predominantly to each one of the executive committees, predominantly based on knowledge that he thought the individuals had and experiences. And so, for example, along with that reorganization order, one of the areas that he asked for me to be responsible for was the new Department of Veterans Affairs, along with the Department of Military. And within the Veterans Affairs process, the governor had asked that, like for all of the other positions, that a committee be put together that included individuals from the public that may have knowledge in that area and screening and taking applications. And we received a very, very good dossiers over the process that we were dealing with. And then we encountered the flood. And so it was kind of a herky-jerky process. And through that evolution, we found an individual who is currently the Sergeant Major for the South Dakota National Guard, Larry Zimmerman. Due to his commitments, and he's just a phenomenal man, but due to his commitments and his career path, he had said, I'd like to take the job, but I can't because I should fill this billet until January of 2013. The governor and I talked about that as he was the recommendation, and actually sort of sat back and said, well, this is difficult because although we had others that were available, we thought that he just brought the best rounded approach given his experiences as an enlisted individual, but also in the civilian world. Long story short to that, most of what my responsibilities would have been anyway are not dissimilar if you advise and consent to this interim appointment, and that is working extensively on the state veterans' homes issues, which I think you all know is a background and a passion and interest that I have in terms of health care and the other areas of veterans. So the governor and I talked about asking you to allow me to sit in the interim, in this interim approach. I took it to the committee at home, and Karen agreed. But the real point of this is that I think with a new organization, with what we're already doing, and with the deputy Harding and the team that we have there, that no beat would be missed. And you are owed that background and experience and knowledge of where we're at. And so that's why he asked for me to serve in that capacity and ask for you to advise and consent. I am a veteran. I've served in the Navy, duty stations of San Diego, Newport, Rhode Island, the Republic of the Philippines, the Pacific Theater, temporary assignments throughout the Pacific Theater in Florida, and have been back here and involved in the veterans organizations. And anything else I'm sure that you know of or is on the dossier in front of you. So I appreciate that for background, and I'm sure there'll be a line of opponents showing up, but there isn't a seat.
Thank you. Are there other proponents? Other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Other opponents? Seeing none, any questions for Mr. Michaels, Lieutenant Governor? Senator Adelstein.
I think it's very interesting that the interim appointment would go to a sailor who lives about as distant from any sea as there is in the United States, and that he's standing in for a sergeant major, which is really where the heart of America should be. So I guess I don't have a question. I just had a comment.
Which is unusual.
Would you care to respond?
Please, have you seen the Missouri River lately?
Any other questions?
Mr. Comments? Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Lieutenant Governor, great to see you.
Good to see you, Colonel.
Could you give us just kind of a state of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and specifically where we're at with the nursing home project for Eastern South Dakota?
Thank you. It's a fascinating department because there are few FTE that do a tremendous number of things, as you well know. One of them is that they work on, and I've done this in my prior life, assist individuals to get veterans benefits, but they work with the Veterans Administration, and we have staff there in Sioux Falls, and the county folks who are really a great backbone, the county veterans service officers, in making sure that individuals, one, as you know, Senator and Colonel, that they know what their benefits are, that we can get compensation both in pension and disability when it's due. And even as important as that is, one of the most exciting and I think probably frustrating areas now with the federal government's expansion of the new GI Bill is we have a couple of individuals, I think there's three or four, that work on-the-job training for people who are veterans who are coming back into the workforce. Two, the educational benefits at our institutions of higher learning, including tech centers, and the complexity of that the federal government has really turfed on to us. And so that is that, along with encouraging veteran employment. We have a new website through the Bureau of Human Resources, and all of that all comes together, and they interface extensively with the Department of Labor to make sure that folks get those benefits, along with processing of DD-214s, which is the discharge instruction for various other benefits. And I would say, just before I get to the specific question, if you have never done this, and I would encourage the pages and interns, if you've never just gone across the way and gone to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs building, don't go into the offices. Go upstairs to the second level, and you will see our Medal of Honor hall. And you cannot leave there without a tear in your eye and feeling that you're really free when you read those citations and why we're free. East River. When we came in to this calling a year ago, I was presented some information about how the application process had taken place for the East River Veterans Home. A little memory is statutorily, you as the legislature passed that exception to our moratorium. We need to, that law goes off the books at the end of 2013. I looked at the request for proposal and then the responses, and Senator, it was inferred, if not sort of stated, that part of the success of that East River facility would be predicated on us getting grant funds from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Well, that was a non sequitur, because on the East the West River piece with Hot Springs, we'd worked extensively, and we have a grant app in there, and it's highly competitive. We still don't know where we're at there, by the way, but to get to would be virtually impossible. About a month after that, after session was out in March, I had the opportunity to meet with the Deputy Secretary of Veterans Affairs and asked him if there's a possibility, by virtue of a veterans home, and there's a lot of mischaracterization or misunderstanding, rather, in order to have a veterans home for the veterans per diem for our people in need in a skilled nursing facility, it has to be denominated a state veterans home. You have to have that. So it currently doesn't work under statute and structure federally to just have one individual in a nursing home who happens to be a veteran. So if you're in the nursing home, it's not a state veterans home, that VA per diem won't get in there. Cutting to the chase, I asked the deputy secretary if I wrote him a letter with a list of questions about the ability to have a response, if an entity would say we would build it, lease it to the state for a buck, and then we would contract back for the length of time, would it still be a veterans home? Could we do all these things? And I spent quite a bit of time looking through the regs, and he said, yep, please send it to me. And about 3 weeks later, he responded with a yes. I put in the RFP. We've received the response to the RFP at I think it was 15 December, Senator, and a team is being put together, and there are four very good responses to that. A team that Colonel Harding is putting together is going to evaluate that and come to a recommendation after they go through that scoring process. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll open to comments and or actions. Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move advise and consent Matt Michaels as interim secretary.
Motion by Rave.
Second.
Second by Senator Adelstein. Comments on the motion? Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just briefly, I could not say more eloquently than the Lieutenant Governor did why he should have the position. It's been my honor to know him for many years now. 10 years, actually, this year. And he's a man of honor, integrity, and compassion, and I know he will do a fine job as interim secretary, and it's my privilege to call him my friend. So I would ask for your support of that motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on the motion to advise and consent? Seeing none, the motion then is to advise and consent. Appointment of Matt Michaels. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Appointment is approved. We will now move to the confirmation appointment of Jeffrey Marlette, Pennington County, Box Elder, South Dakota, as the Adjutant General of the Army. Assistant Adjutant General. I'm missing words today. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Matt Michaels, Lieutenant Governor of South Dakota. As I previously stated, one of my honors and privileges is to be the executive member over the Department of Military and work with General Rice and General Marlette. A number of years ago, I met General Marlette in passing. I did not get to know him extensively until, candidly, the flood fight. And it is readily apparent, as you can see by his vitae, that he's the reason we're able to be here and be free. As you understand, the our National Guard is Army and Air, and the adjutants for that, assistant adjutants, one for the Air and one for the Army, and obviously General Marlette is here, and we'll talk about his background and experience. In addition to what you see there, or should I just highlight it, he headed up a tour of over 14 months in a pretty rough neighborhood, taking care of individuals in Iraq and leading them. And along with that, he's not only incredibly well-educated generally, but educated in terms of leadership and the focus of the War College he completed in 2010, but also happens to be a superintendent of schools in New Underwood, has obviously background in leadership in that aspect of taking care of our youth. So it's a privilege for me to introduce General Jeff Marlette.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for that introduction. Specifically, I guess what I'd say is that I was appointed to this position in April of last year, and since then I've been filling this role. It's absolutely an honor to be able to lead approximately 3,400 of just absolutely outstanding soldiers in this organization. People ask me, why have you been doing this for 30-some years? It's because I get to really work with the best South Dakota has to offer. And I think we have a great team put together, and we are doing some great things. This is a turbulent time, as you can imagine, with soldiers deploying around the world. Literally every day since 9/11, we have had soldiers somewhere deployed in this world. And we don't see that stopping anytime soon. And so the things that I'm called to do that I take very seriously is the readiness of our soldiers and making sure that when that call comes, whether it be for state active duty, as we saw in the largest state active duty deployment this year that we've had since the Rapid City flood, or sending soldiers around the world, which currently we've got about a dozen units that are overseas. And so we take that very seriously, and readiness and making sure that they're ready to go is my primary job, and I think we do that very well. We do that very well, and our soldiers make us proud every day. So thank you for this opportunity, and look forward to any questions you may have.
Thank you. Just for the record, are there any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Adelstein? I'm sorry. Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
With that, we will open to discussion and or action.
Thank you very much.
Senator Adelstein.
Mr. Chairman, it's with a great pleasure that I would recommend, I would move the advice and consent of a general officer who was an engineer officer, as I once was, longer time ago than most of the people in this room have been alive, former civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army for South Dakota, and someone who is traveling as the civilian aide with the Secretary, was so proud of the fact that the South Dakota Guard was the most highly acclaimed and the representative of what guardsmen should be. So it's with great pleasure that I make that motion. A more appropriate person could not have been designated.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion?
Second
by Senator Gray. Further comments on the motion for the appointment? Any other comments? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In going through General Marlette's bio, I just have to smile because there's many of those things that we work together, and I have had the great privilege of serving with Jeff for numerous years, but I'll never forget one of the most inspiring things that when I worked here in Pierre was whenever I would walk into the governor's office, there was an image, a print on the wall of a circle of soldiers praying, and that's a common act before soldiers embark on a particular mission, and this one particularly was Jeff. Jeff leading of soldiers back in 2004 in Iraq, and arguably one of the most challenging missions that any of our soldiers have faced. But that print was Jeff was included in that. The circle of soldiers praying and that just is really a compliment and a story of how Jeff is such a great leader, and he took that battalion to some really tough terrain and a really tough mission, and brought them on all home safely. And so, Jeff, thanks for your friendship, thanks for your leadership, and thanks for what you do not only for soldiers of South Dakota, but also, you know, running the New Underwood School on a day-to-day basis, and just proud to call you my friend.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to advise and consent in the appointment of Jeffrey Marlette. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. We will move now to the confirmation of Leroy LaPlante, Clay County, Vermilion, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tribal Relations. That hearing is now open for public comment and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, and I have seated here to my left J.R. LaPlante. To continue the discussion that we had a little earlier on my nomination and your consideration. Governor, in the reorganization order, created the Department of Tribal Relations. You may recall that it was a division within the Governor's Office of Economic Development before and tourism. And it was very, very important to the Governor and to me in the reorganization and in the establishment of the Executive Committee that I would have the privilege to work on this as well as the Executive Committee member. And so, J.R. is one of the members of my team, if you so advise and consent, but we've been working together since March 2nd. An interesting path that Secretary has taken is one of pure service and very, very God-fearing. And I'll let him talk a little more about his background so that you get more of a flavor. I know you have all met him, but we went through the identical process. The governor had asked that a citizens committee put together with individuals from public service in the government, and we evaluated numerous applicants. Phenomenal amount of interest and excitement, and it was really telling when we had the opportunity to interview him. And the coincidence is JR just barely made it in under the wire because he was driving in from Vermilion and encountered bad weather, and that's identically what happened when we interviewed him. And he thought that he did a poor job interviewing because of the cell connection near Oklahoma, and we did not think so, and he came in and continued to impress us. Since March 2nd, he actually has put on over 3 million miles now that he has traveled all over meeting and developing relationships and seeding those relationships with his background, not only as a former tribal judge and administrator, but an individual who is an enrolled member of the Cheyenne Sioux River tribe, and also his extensive knowledge of the various issues that are really intergovernmental relations and the things that he's taught me and the relationships that he's assisting the governor and me to build. He assisted in meeting all around with all of the tribal chairs in the governor's travels and coordinated that along with individuals as they came to the mansion and we've met with them. It is a huge job with very little staff, but you could tell by his demeanor that the governor and I really believe that we're blessed to have an individual like that. So, J.R., if you'd like to give a little more about your background, I'd appreciate it. That's fair. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I may just give you a little bit more background about myself and what I'm about. First of all, let me just say I've been serving in this capacity since March 2nd of last year, and it's been a tremendous honor for me. I feel like because of my background and my education, and I'm uniquely qualified for this position, and I'm absolutely ecstatic that I have the opportunity to serve in this capacity. I'm a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. I grew up on the reservation. I was born and raised in Eagle Butte, and I'm very familiar with the challenges and the difficulties of rural life on the reservation, and I bring that experience with me to this position. I can relate to those challenges that are out there, and also having lived there and worked with folks not only on Cheyenne River but other reservations, I feel like I know the people as well. I have the experience of being able to go out to the community feeling comfortable. That is my element, and I know those folks. But also I have a background in tribal government. Having served as an administrative officer for the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, I know how tribal government functions. And as is the case with all governments, I also know how government doesn't function as well sometimes. And so I know the challenges of government. And but I think those intergovernmental relationships are very important. I observe the tribes to be sovereigns, just as the state of South Dakota is sovereign. And I believe that our future, the strength of our future, is to continue to develop and to continue to foster that sovereign-to-sovereign, government-to-government relationship. And I believe my predecessors, our former governors, and, of course, under the leadership of Governor Dugard, I believe that we are going to make large strides in that relationship. I'm also, after many years of aspiring to become an attorney, I pursued that dream of mine when I was 38 years old, coming back to South Dakota and going to the University of South Dakota, achieving my Juris Doctor degree and studying Indian law and tribal law. And I think that experience also makes me uniquely qualified. So if it pleases the committee, I present myself to you today. And again, I feel like this is a very good opportunity, an excellent opportunity to serve the people of South Dakota. And for me, it's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? You know, I'm going to take the liberty to ask you a couple questions, only because we have, you know, obviously have a little bit of time, but a couple things I wanted to share with you and get your comments on.
Sure.
I've become over the years, in recent years, very good friends with David Bald Eagle. And I'm sure, as a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, that you've met David Bald Eagle. I'm extremely impressed with David and his experience. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the few living legends in our state. But I've spent many hours over coffee visiting with David and him trying to impart his wisdom. He's 90-some years old, was in the 82nd Airborne. Prior to that, he was in the Mounted Cavalry at Fort Meade. I mean, what a life experience he's had. But he's tried to educate me on old-school, traditional Indian law. David Bald Eagle is the chief of the indigenous tribes of the Americas, basically a position as overall chief of all the indigenous tribes. But he has tried to explain to me the difference between traditional Indian law and the tribal law that we're under now, basically through the IRA, the Indian Reorganization Act. So I wonder if maybe you could help me better understand from your perspective, you know, the law that the tribes are under now and the conflict or the difference or how you would tie traditional law to the IRA Act and the tribal law that we're under now. I understand that's a huge question to get your arms wrapped around in 5 minutes, but if you could kind of educate us in that regard.
Let me start by saying this. First of all, thank you for reminding the committee and about what a great man Dave Bald Eagle is. He's one of our tribal elders and truly is an elder in every sense of the word for the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. We look to him for guidance on many things. And what I appreciate most about David is he's really lived lived an example for us to follow. When you look at lives, and role models are so important to have. You're looking to those folks that are actually walking the talk, and Dave does. And he walks. He really exemplifies those traditional forms of leadership. He recognizes the fact that when we were under our own form of government, that we had roles in our societies, and Dave recognizes those societies, the warrior societies that led the people, and he lives that every day of his life, and he speaks the language fluently and teaches the language to younger members of the tribe, and that's important because language is such an integral part, was such an integral part of our traditional government. It was difficult to understand our life ways. And you got to keep in mind, Chairman, that our government was not set apart from our life. It was an integral part of our life ways, as well as our spirituality. It wasn't kept separate like it is today. Today, government is separate, and then it's separated further by voting districts, and separated further by separation of powers, and it's separate. Government serves to separate people today. That is one of the biggest distinctions between a modern day Indian Reorganization Act government and our traditional government, which sought to include everybody and bring people together and integrate all aspects of our life ways as Lakota people. And we spoke our language in our traditional government. Our spiritual life ways were a part of our traditional government. And all members of our people were there, not just elected people, but our elders and our young people, our warriors and our elders as well. Today, our elders don't have an integral part of our government today, but in the past, they were a very, very important aspect of our traditional government. So in the short time that I had, I hope that kind of provides a little bit of response, but those are some of the distinctions. Now, can we fold some of those traditional elements of traditional government into the modern-day government? Absolutely, and I think our tribes are trying to do that. I have the background of having been selected by the Bush Foundation, and that means nothing other than to say that my tribe recognized me as a potential leader in nation building for our tribe, and we have often looked at ways to integrate those traditional aspects of our government, especially the consensus building of our traditional government. Today, we put it to a vote. Under a traditional government, it was about consensus building, what was best for the people. Also, I think one of the most important aspects of traditional government, Mr. Chairman, is the fact that we always thought of seven generations ahead. How are our actions today going to impact our future generations? In today's government, we don't always think that far ahead. Today's government, we do what is politically expedient. But in our traditional government, our children in the future were really the focus of our policy decisions. And so that's another distinction. So I hope that someone answers your question, and I certainly offer myself to you any time that you're available. We can sit down, have coffee, and discuss it further.
Thank you very much. That was very helpful. And by all means, I would love to have the opportunity to sit down. I'd love to sit down with you and David Bald Eagle and the three of us hash this out, because I've wrapped my arms more around it with David, and his description was very much similar to yours as far as the difference in our interpretation of government. It almost sounded as though the traditional government was more about culture than it was about government, just a different defining of terminologies. So thank you. That was helpful.
You're welcome, sir.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will move to comments and or action. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move to the advice and consent of Jerry LaPlante for the secretary position.
Motion by Olson.
Second.
Second by Senator Teason. Comments on the motion? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, throughout last summer, we worked very closely with JR as we did our redistricting process, and as of last Thursday, the Department of Justice gave us the preclearance for our redistricting plan, which I think is a credit to having JR in this position and the way that he worked with us to make sure that the minority-majority districts or the majority-minority districts were represented fairly in the process, and I thank him again publicly for that. And I know that, you know, having a reservation in my district, I've talked to our tribal council members and tribal elders, and they are very much appreciative of the governor and for JR's outreach towards them and giving them a voice at the table out here in Pierre. So I would urge everyone to support JR in this position.
Any other comments? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and certainly very appreciative of the governor and Lieutenant Governor for having JR to be at the service for our people that are throughout our state. And the Lieutenant Governor is closely correct as far as making the road miles, because I do know that that they made the trip up into the Northeast, and I know the Siston Wapton tribe sometimes feels a little bit forgotten up there because we are a ways away from everywhere else, but there certainly is a lot of activity, and we have a lot of people there that you know, expect to be involved. And so, again, I just want to say thank you, and we look forward to continued work with JR and his office. So thank you.
Any other comments? Well, I would close by just making a couple final comments. I very much enjoyed the brief conversation we had here and the explanation, because it helps even further for me to connect the dots in the conversations I have with David Bald Eagle. But on a much broader scope, the whole issues, all the issues surrounding Native Americans and the tribes in South Dakota, and the misunderstandings from both sides of the fence as far as the Native Americans and some of the young people that I believe probably do not understand or espouse to the traditional government or the traditional values and the culture that's so deeply ingrained in the Indian culture, and how much of that is lost and the misperceptions about by the young people, especially in the tribes, and by young people on our side in the white population, that don't understand that culture and the sense of pride and the sense of self-reliability that was, you know, the foundation of the Native American culture. And so it's encouraging for me to see somebody like Leroy taking the reins and working as an ambassador to help bridge that gap between what the perception is and what reality is, and how best to find our way back through the maze to that, you know, self-reliance and the realization that we have to rely upon ourselves, and that no government can take that responsibility. So, again, it's encouraging for me, and I, by all means, I think it's a great thing that we have people like Leroy that are taking the reins to work in that capacity. So, thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to advise and consent in the appointment of Leroy LaPlante. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Polson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. Motion carries. We will now move to the confirmation of the appointment of James Hagan, Hugh County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tourism. That hearing is now open for public comment and proponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Kim Olson, a policy advisor for Governor Dugard, and on behalf of Governor Dugard, we're here to request your advice and consent of Jim Hagan for the Secretary of Tourism. I think Jim Hagan's no stranger to many of you here on this committee. He's had a rich history in public service to the state of South Dakota. As you know, he's worked for Governor Janklow in many capacities, including chief of staff and special assistant. And during that time when he worked for Governor Janklow, one of his focus areas was with tourism. He also served Governor Rounds as the Secretary of Tourism and State Development at the time. And he's worked in the private sector as a public relations director for Crazy Horse. So he's had experience in the tourism industry that he now represents and works with. I would say that in the months that we've had Jim Hagan on board, it's been exciting to see what he's been able to do already. He has a passion for this industry, and he knows it well. He has a good network of people throughout the state of South Dakota that he works with, and he's really engaged that industry very well in trying to bring out the best of our industry and make sure that it has a large economic impact to our state. As you know, Governor Dugard reorganized this department, and so the departments that are included within the Department of Tourism include the Division of Tourism, the Division of Arts, and the Division of History, and Jim does a very good job representing all of those. For those of you who were able to attend the tourism conference last week, you've heard that our numbers for 2011, our economic impact, were actually up, and that's up despite a phenomenal year the year before that, so he's growing on top of strong growth, and up despite we had a very challenging season with flooding. And he was able, I do think that his department made a strong difference in that ability to be up, because if they would not have been up there, out there at the Macy's Day Parade, or if they would not have been out and about at the Vikings games or out and about promoting the state, I think we might have seen different results. I'd also tell you that from my perspective, working with him on a daily basis, we're lucky to have him in this position because we see his leadership on a national level. He represents South Dakota on many national industry boards, and he's very well known in that industry. He's truly a leader who has the history and reputation to make South Dakota an advocate for our nation, nation's history on tourism. And therefore, with all those things and everything that he brings to the table, we really think that Jim is uniquely positioned to be a Secretary of Tourism, and therefore we request that you advise and consent to his appointment. I'll turn it over to him for comments.
Thank you, Kim. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, he sounds like a pretty good guy. I'd like to get to know him. Jeez, a little embarrassing sitting here. As Kim said, I truly am passionate about this industry. Absolutely love on a daily basis coming to work, visiting with folks from around the state. The best thing about it is we get to represent, as far as I'm concerned, the friendliest people in this country, some of the hardest working, most decent people, and above all that, some of the most beautiful landscape from one corner of the state to the next. So it truly is a privilege to serve the governor, to serve this industry, to serve the citizens of South Dakota. As Kim said, this is a very important industry. We employ nearly 27,000 people, $1.8 billion impact this year in terms of our economy. And one of our goals every day when we go to work is to make sure we're finding ways to continue to grow this industry, impact jobs, impact our economy. And I'm sure happy to answer any questions that you may have of me.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, questions? Any questions from the committee? Seeing none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move to discussion or actions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
I would like to move the advice and consent of Jim Hagan to this position as Secretary of Tourism.
Second.
Motion by Adelstein, second by Senator Frericks. Comments on the motion? Senator Adelstein.
Mr. Chairman, I first met Mr. Hagan in 1995 when he was traveling in the campaign with Bill Janklow. In fact, I still have a room for him in the bedroom he used to sleep in whenever he would come to Rapid City, but he now doesn't do it anymore. Jim was outstanding in the development of the long-range foundation for Crazy Horse, and I was involved on the periphery of that. So he is knowledgeable not only in what one of the key industries are in the state, but in the specifics of a very, very important issue. Further, he is a very creative thinker and an innovative problem solver. one of the things he understands very clearly is cultural tourism, which South Dakota is just beginning to realize. And with his Division of the Arts and his promotion there, I think there's no limit. He is a very caring person, and as that sort of a person, he brings to the position a knowledge of the heart of South Dakota, which is unusual. That's something that we really can't emphasize enough. When you come here, all kinds of things happen. And then he has a heart that is important in dealing with people. When I flew to Sioux Falls after the tragic accident with Governor Janklow, the first person I saw at the governor's home was Jim Hagan. Came from California, dropped everything he was doing to share with the man who had been a leader for him. He is a very meaningful appointee. Not only will he do an excellent job in this position, but as a member of the governor's cabinet, he will bring an insight that is invaluable to the whole state.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein. Further comments? Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to confirm the appointment of James Hagan. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rabe?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we will move on our calendar, and Senator Frerichs, you'd made the request that the Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Feinstein is kind of more the expert on that legislation, and he's held up in the Twin Cities. I think he's supposed to be back any time to Sioux Falls, so I guess if we may defer that and take that up at our next meeting, please.
Okay. Request denied. We're taking it up now. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Will Wednesday work? We just plan on putting it below the line on Wednesday? Okay. That's what we will do. With that, that's it for our calendar for today. This makes the second meeting of the State Affairs. We're already past our bill introduction deadline, as the Unlimited comes up in just shortly, and we've only heard a couple bills, so I expect the pig will be coming through the python in days and weeks to come. Any other business for this committee? Seeing none.
Move to adjourn.
Second. Motion by Johnson, seconded by Teason. Motion to adjourn. Comments on the motion? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.